Okay, so Easter 2026. I wonder, when you hear the word Easter, what is the first thing you think of? If we're honest, what is the first thing you think of? Well, I asked AI. What is the first thing you think of when I say the word Easter? And do you know what the response was? Chocolate. Chocolate. Now, I know some have already, but I want honesty here. Who has already eaten chocolate today? Come on. Confession time. Oh, fewer than I thought. Well done. Well, these things have been on sale since Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve at Sainsbury's in Stroud, they had mini eggs on sale. So what came next? Well, I think this was heavily influenced by America because Easter bunnies was the second thing. And then that got my mind in another direction. So what about Lego Easter bunnies? Or Simnel cake? Or marzipan? Or hot cross buns? Oh, now look at that selection of hot cross buns. Now, I saw, and I've deliberately anonymized this, I saw this tweet this week, and it comes from someone I know, and it comes from someone I know who grew up in a Christian family, but they said this, and they're about 35. They said, how am I only discovering now that hot cross buns were originally intended for Good Friday? This is how far we have traveled in our consumer world, that you can buy hot cross buns any day of the year. And yet originally, of course, they marked the end of Lent, the time when the pantries were empty and suddenly the spices and the fat came back into diet, and the cross marks the cross of Good Friday. But also, our consumer world has taken hot cross buns and they've gone, oh yes, they're mighty fine as they are, but let's wreck them. So these are the flavours currently available in UK supermarkets. Red velvet filled, Neapolitan ice cream, carrot cake, tiramisu, cherry bakewell, rhubarb and custard, rhubarb and ginger, orange marmalade, strawberries and cream, lemon and white chocolate, berry blast, milk chocolate and fudge, brown butter and chai, extremely cheesy, mighty cheesy, double cheddar, and beetroot and chocolate. Ugh. I would just like to let you know that Sainsbury's, God bless them, have supplied us with traditional fruity hot cross buns. And where's my phone got? This came through just this morning. And this is from the manager at Sainsbury's, who wanted to check that we managed to collect the hot cross buns. He'd made a point. He's given them to us completely free of charge, no discounts. He just said, I want you to place. And then he said, did you get them all right? I'm really concerned that your church gets them. And I said, yes, thank you. And he said, that is wonderful to hear. Easter is a special time. Would you please tell all your church to have a wonderful Easter? He sent that this morning. He's not at work, but it's on his work email. Can we pray for Mark? I will be going back to say thank you for him, but let's pray for Mark at Sainsbury's. So, of course, it's not really about any of the things I've just shown you. We can think about higher things, about what Easter is really about, because a lot can happen in 7 days, which is where we've just been through Holy Week. Last Sunday, Steve Morris, he's not here this morning, but Steve Morris spoke on Palm Sunday. And then this week we have celebrated, by the way, his talk is still available online if you'd like to listen to it on our website. Then we had Holy Monday. Holy Monday is when Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple. It was also where he was anointed in Bethany. Holy Tuesday, that's the last time Jesus teaches in Jerusalem. Holy Wednesday, or, I didn't know this, In some churches, it's called Spy Wednesday. That's because it's the day that Judas conspired with the authorities to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Maundy Thursday, Jesus washes the disciples' feet and they partake of the Last Supper. Good Friday, that's the arrest, the trial, the crucifixion, the death, and the burial of Jesus. An awful lot happens on Good Friday. Holy Saturday, Jesus lies dead in the tomb. And you think nothing is happening, but God is still at work behind the scenes. If ever you want another sermon talk, there it is, what happens on Holy Saturday. God is at work behind the scenes, even when you can't see it. But I want to focus this morning on an event that happened in all of the mayhem, all of the stuff that's going on Good Friday. Jesus is arrested, thanks to Joseph, and I want to bring you up to speed what happened on Good Friday. These timings are approximate, because no one was there with a wristwatch. So between midnight and 3 o'clock, Jesus is arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's taken to Annas and Caiaphas for questioning. And then sometime between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock, Peter denies Jesus 3 times and he is held at the high priest's house. Now, sometime between 6 and 8, the Sanhedrin officially condemns Jesus and he's now sent to Pontius Pilate, who's the Roman governor. And from there, he goes to Herod. And then sometime between 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock in the morning, Pilate attempts to release Jesus. But the crowd demands Barabbas is freed instead. And Pilate sentences Jesus to be crucified and has him whipped. You know a lot of the story from then. But I want to focus on this chap, Barabbas. In amongst all that is going on, the fury, the furore, the cries of crucify him, of Rome fearing that a riot is about to ensue, the episode of with Barabbas is one of very few acts that is mentioned in all 4 of the Gospels. The only miracle is the feeding of the 5,000. The events of Holy Week are mentioned, but the episode with Barabbas is not just mentioned in all 4 Gospels, it's also mentioned in Acts. Why does it have such importance? Well, let's see, shall we? Barabbas was a rebel. He was in prison for insurrection and for murder, and he quite rightly deserved to be there. I wonder what your image of Barabbas is. I want you to think about, what do you anticipate Barabbas looked like? In Tim Chester's book that many of us have been studying for Lent, he says, we are all Barabbas. We are all part of humanity's uprising against God. I don't know if you've ever met a murderer. I have. I met actually more than one in Layhill Prison many years ago when I was working there. They were coming to the end of their sentence. And then I met another one in my church office. I was helping someone out. They were sat opposite me and I was helping them out. And they were sort of talking about how could Jesus possibly forgive them. And I very foolishly said, look, it's not like you've murdered someone, is it? And they looked at the floor and said, no, not one. It was 2. I won't make that mistake again. But here's the thing. They looked just like you and me. They didn't have a great big tattoo across their forehead that said, I'm a murderer. We've all done wrong stuff. We've all messed up. We've all gone against God. And yet, just like Barabbas, we get given another chance. God didn't wait for us to get all of our stuff together. It wasn't a when you get to this level, then you're accepted. God takes us exactly as we are. Pilate wanted to release Jesus. Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. He even ignored his wife, who had sent him a warning. Guys, don't do that. But Pilate gave in. He washed his hands of the situation, and he gave the go-ahead for Jesus to be crucified. In this moment, Barabbas was given a get-out-of-jail-free card. He didn't expect it that morning. Where did this come from? Suddenly, I'm free. Of course, the crowd loved it. Their man was free. I wonder what did Barabbas make of Jesus after this event? Imagine that's you. You know you've done the deed. You know you're guilty. But suddenly, someone else is taking the rap for you. Someone else is going to pay the fine for you. Someone else is going to die for you. The great exchange has taken place. The penalty that should have been Barabbas's was paid by Jesus. Do you think Barabbas followed Jesus after this? I wonder, you see, this vivid, brief encounter in the story of Jesus' trial is a belter of an image that encapsulates the whole reason that Jesus came. He died in our place. We didn't deserve this freedom, but his death and his resurrection buys us new life, eternal life. Now, of course, Easter is so much more than the death of Jesus. As Christians, the central point in our calendar, the moment that everything else revolves around, is today, Easter Sunday, and the resurrection. That death is defeated and that God's wonderful rescue plan for all mankind has been put into action. And anyone who follows Jesus can have the slate wiped clean, can have the not guilty plea, can get the get out of jail free card. That an innocent man has died in their place in order that they might have life and life in all of its fullness. The great exchange has taken place for us too. We stand where Barabbas stood and Jesus said, I'll pay that one. We have a get out of jail free card. Easter is a time to focus on the empty cross. Easter is a time to focus on the empty grave. Jesus is not there. And I say this every year, but remember, the stone was rolled away not so that Jesus could get out, but so that we could see in. Jesus did not need the stone moved to get out, but we needed it moved so that we could see in. It was so that Mary and Peter and John could run to the truth, so they could see with their own eyes the resurrection. They could see that Jesus was not there. They could run and tell others about the good news. It is true. It's true. Everything he said is true. He's alive. Now, you see, Easter is a bit uncomfortable for some people to talk about. Of the two great Christian festivals, they'd rather focus on Christmas. That's the one with presents. That's the one with kings and gifts and happy carols and twinkly lights. But the very fact is, the reason Jesus came, the reason we have Christmas, everything led up to the empty cross and the empty tomb. So, God's love, our rebellion, Jesus' death. All that is left is our response. Do we accept the great exchange? Do we say thank you, Jesus, and follow him? The empty cross and the empty grave lead to a new life for us. To anyone who accepts Jesus, that's the way it is. So here's my last slide. You may have seen this on a wristband. You may have seen it on a t-shirt. But if I don't do this today, when am I going to do it? God loves you so much. God loves you so much, and yet we have all stood where Barabbas stood. We've all messed up. We've all done stuff wrong. We've all said or done or thought something wrong. And yet on that cross, when Jesus took the nails and paid the price, he said, "This one's on me. You are forgiven for all time. From here when you're born to here when you die, we wrap it all up in this one moment and say, you are forgiven. The slate is wiped clean. You are free. All that's left is the question mark. Are you brave enough to make the decision to follow Jesus and change your life forever, to accept the get out of jail free card? In this book that we've been studying, I decided I wanted to make sure I did today's reading before I came in this morning. It ends like this. It says, it's significant that the story, this is from John chapter 20 and verse 31. It is significant that the story ends with the words, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." These are written. That's all the stories of Jesus that we get to read. How did God create? Through his word. How does God recreate? Through his word. This too is how we should read verse 23. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven. The message of Easter is preached by God's people. Those who receive that message are forgiven, and those who reject that message are not forgiven. That's the message that comes to you now. The promise of forgiveness and life by believing in Jesus. If along with Thomas you say to him, "My Lord and my God," then today you stand as part of a recreated eternal humanity. And this surely is a reason to have a very happy Easter. So, whatever you do this Easter, by all means enjoy the chocolate, enjoy the hot cross buns, enjoy all that stuff. But if you would like to make the best decision in your life that you will ever make, is to say yes to Jesus. And I would love to talk to you, to introduce you to him, to pray with you. And it might be you think, "I'm not that brave." Maybe you'd just like to read the stories for yourself. We've got lots of these, and I'd love to give you one of these too. God's love. We got stuff wrong. The cross of Jesus paid the price. What are you going to do about it? Happy Easter.